changed. Diversity, diversity, diversity.
Years have caused confusion.
Oh, the trash is more.
I'm here. Welcome to another edition of Office Hours. As people are trickling in, I'll just tell you I'm smoking an old classic Partagas Serie D4, one of the classic Cuban cigars. Been around for well over, I think the Serie D4 was introduced in the 1970s, but it's been around for a long time. Maybe even longer. Maybe it's a pre-revolution one. Kind of interested now. When was Partagas Serie D4 introduced? While I look that up and as people trickle in, I'll just remind everybody to pick up courses at the academic agency. In fact, why don't I play an ad while I look up when the Partagas Serie D4 came out and get up my notes on Rupert Lowe and Nigel Farage. So, as people are trickling in, you can watch an ad. Which one shall I play? Shakespeare one we've had a lot recently. Let's have the old Foundations of Politics one, because we're dealing with politics today, friends.
Foundations of Politics, only £350. Buy it now. See the world as it is and not how it ought to be. History is the graveyard of aristocracy. Who says organization says oligarchy? Who decides? Who interprets? The extremes of individualism and socialism meet. That was their predestined course. Foundations of Politics, only £350. Buy it now.
So I was right. The Partagas Serie D 4, number 4, was released in 1975. See, I knew that bit of user information would come in handy one day. Although, what use it is filling in as people are filing in, I don't know. But anyway, it's a little bit early in the day to be having one of these, but it's a versatile one. Anyway, after the soaring heights of talking about international geopolitics and the realignment of the world order, we've kind of been on cloud nine recently, haven't we? We've been, but now, this week, we're dragged back down into the slime and muck and mundanity of domestic British politics. And how depressing it is to be back here, friends, talking about the latest infighting at Reform UK. Now, a lot of people have opined on this already. I wanted to wait to see what was going to happen. And it looked to me like the story was going to go away, that the momentum had died over the weekend and over yesterday. And when I checked this morning, the story was off all the front pages. It was off all of the websites. I was like, maybe the hit on Lowe has failed. But just before I came on air, and I will show you this now, there is a breaking story, which is that Lowe is now formally under investigation by the Met Police. I will share Sky News, or if you're one of those boomers, Sly News. Remember all of that? Sly News. Here's Sly News. And you can see Met Police launches investigation into suspended Reform MP Rupert Lowe over quote-unquote verbal threats. Right? Lowe has previously denied the claims against him, calling them vexatious after he questioned Nigel Farage's ability. Okay, there's Lowe. And yeah, this is quite extraordinary. Basically, it's being claimed that he made verbal threats against the chairman, Zia Yousaf, which Lowe denies. A spokesperson for the Met told Sky News they have now launched an investigation into an allegation of a series of verbal threats made by a 67-year-old man. Our original statement referred to alleged threats made in December 2024. We would like to clarify that when this matter was reported to us, it referred to a series of alleged threats made between December 2024 and February 2025. Further inquiries are going on at this stage. I mean, talk about a big girl's blouse here, Yousaf. What the hell is this? I mean, come on. Right? I mean, they're trying to take him down in the most feminine, pathetic, cowardly, cucked regime way imaginable. He called Zia Yousaf a few names, and Yousaf goes to the police. I mean, these threats that Rupert Lowe was meant to have made, they better be bloody serious, right? It better be of the kind of magnitude of, you know, the kind of threat that would make you genuinely scared, you know, this person's a real psycho type thing. Those are the sorts of situations where you might, quote unquote, go to the police, okay? I kind of doubt that Rupert Lowe has been doing that. I kind of doubt that Rupert Lowe said, hey, Zia, you watch what you're doing, mate, otherwise I'm going to come round. I'm going to come round with my shotgun. Come on. This is bollocks. This is bullshit. And everybody knows it. Anyway, I thought an interesting thing to do would be to go back on Rupert Lowe's own Twitter profile to track the story, because he has been quite defiant and quite vocal against what is happening to him. If you're not aware of the story, let's cut all the bollocks out, shall we? Okay, let's cut the bullshit out. Everybody knows that Rupert Lowe was the only based reform MP. Okay, when I say based, what do I mean? I mean the only one willing to say what needs to be said, the only one who is reflecting what the general British public actually think. Okay, and I'm not just saying that as rhetoric, this is empirically provable. With YouGov polls, public opinion is where Rupert Lowe is. Okay, they're sick of immigration. They want deportations. They want to stop illegal migration, and you can go through all of the data. And it's not actually a right-left issue. This is bipartisan. This is voters on all sides. This is Labour Party, Tory Party, Reform, Lib Dem voters even. Are kind of with Rupert Lowe in the majority on this, okay? So what's the issue, right? What's the issue? Reform MP, the party of the people, a populist party in theory, saying things that people like, getting really popular on Twitter, getting, he's been everybody's favorite, my favorite, Dan Tubbs's favorite, Carl's favorite, right? Who are the other channels around? I mean, he's all of our favourites, right? You in the chat, you know Rupert is your favourite. I made a video just last week, right? What was that video called that I made? Reform UK need to take more risks. Video by me, published 4th of March. What did I say in that video? I said it's ridiculous that Nigel Farage is being outflanked by someone like Suella Braverman. He needs to pull his finger out and listen to Rupert Moore. Go in the direction of Rupert Lowe, because Rupert Lowe has his finger on the pulse of something, right? But Bob Dylan once sung, there's something happening here, but you don't know what it is, do you, Mr. Jones? Right, we could rewrite it. There's something happening here, but you don't know what it is, do you, Richard Tice? Do you, Nigel Farage? Okay. So what's the issue? The issue is that Nigel Farage doesn't like anybody else having the limelight. Nigel Farage has always, don't forget, when he came into the party, Richard Tice was the leader. And because we know that Richard Tice's natural character is that of a cuck, Tice was happy to move aside and let Farage become the leader, okay? Because Tice was like, yeah, to be fair, I'm a number two. I'm like a number two. I'm not an alpha, right? Rupert Lowe's not like that. I have to hold my hands up. I hadn't drawn the connection that this is the same Rupert Lowe who was the chairman of Southampton Football Club back in the day. I remember him as a chairman. He was a good chairman as well. He was one of the more outspoken chairmen back then when I used to follow football. He is an out, like, say what you want about Rupert Lowe, not a follower, right? A leader, probably someone who's used to being in leadership roles. Therefore, it is a challenge to Nigel Farage's authority. And Farage is not good at playing nicely with others. He's not good when other people start getting positive notices, you know, above and beyond him. There's this, you know, saying nobody's bigger than the club, right? That's what they said in, that's what they always said in football terms. Nobody's bigger than the club. Unfortunately, when Nigel Farage runs a party, the actual rule is nobody is bigger than Nigel Farage. The party is Nigel. Now, this has been a feature all through his career, right? Going right back. I mean, there was Robert Kilroy Silk, wasn't there? There was Ben Habib more recently. I mean, there have been so many people who've had this treatment from Nigel. And there's been memes going around and everybody's talked about all of this stuff already. But there's a real problem here because reform actually need to be doing what Lowe is doing. They need to go to where Elon Musk wants them to go. And Musk is even coming out in support of Lowe now. They need to go to where Donald Trump has gone in America. They need to go even as far as the AfD in Germany, or they need to go as far as Le Pen in France. And Farage just isn't willing to do it. He is too safe, as I said in that video last week. And his instinct is always, oh, actually, we can't do that. Okay, and this is the difference, I think, between, if I was to say, what's the big difference between Donald Trump and Nigel Farage? There's two, really. There's two big differences. First difference is Donald Trump would never, ever come out and make a statement like Rupert Lowe has been captured by the online right, or he's been captured by the radical right online. Okay. Trump never, ever did shit like that. He always gives a certain layer of protection. Okay. To even people who are pretty quite edgy. If you look at the long history of Trump, right. He has played friend enemy politics to that extent, where he's not kind of just come out and he's tried to build bridges to, the quote unquote online right, who are his base. He's tried to like build a network there. Farage just doesn't do that. Like, to him, all of you lot watching this show, me, all of the other people like us who actually generate ideas, move the discourse, we're just scumbags. We're just disgusting. Just disgusting scumbags. All of us. We just haven't got anything worth saying. Because to Nigel, everything has to be by the old school. You know, if you're not in Fleet Street, if you're not in the Westminster bubble, if you're not attached to the actual regime, he's not interested. And he's always been like that. Very much a system man is Nigel. Trouble is, it's not 1985 or 1995 or even 2005. 2025 now, Nige. You've got to get with the program, mate. So that is one issue with the one big difference between Trump and Farage. Second big issue between Trump and Farage, or big difference between the two of them, is that Trump is kind of like, for better or for worse, sometimes I think, you know, he takes this a bit far, but for better or for worse, Trump is very magical in his thinking. Okay. What do I mean by that? When he comes up with things where everybody, I mean, literally everybody thinks, oh, that's insane. You can't do that. Right. And Trump is like, yeah, I'm going to make it happen. So Trump has a way of changing reality. This is what Scott Adams talks about, the persuasion, right? There's no such thing as too big for Trump. This is his kind of almost the Tony Robbins side of him, you know, awaken the giant within, the Tony Robbins. Now, you can mock all of that stuff, but there is some actual truth to some of that, that you can, in some way, manifest your own reality. And Trump, somehow, God knows how, I mean, maybe he is divinely best or something, is more magic than most people. Farage isn't like that. Farage looks at the situation and says, oh, actually, we have to give up on that fight. It's just not realistic. It's just not possible to do it. It's just, you know, it's unfeasible. And he even does it on issues that I just don't think are, like, let me give you an example. That interview that he gave when he said that, oh, by 2050, you know, it's going to be too late. The Muslim population is going to be too big. It's a lost cause, basically. I mean, I had a look at the stats the other day. I think there was something like 4.5 million Muslims in the country out of a population of 65 million plus. Okay, so more Scottish people than Muslims in the country. Okay, I mean, so I guess what I'm saying is the situation is not like all like completely lost. It's not, quote unquote, unrealistic to think that that trend of that line of that number of Muslims keeps on going up could be sorted out if somebody had a will, right? He just doesn't want it. He just doesn't want to. And this is the thing. This is the thing. It seems to me that Farage is just a Tory, right? He is just a Tory. Just a Thatcherite Tory who was never allowed into the party for some reason, who craves acceptance from the Tory party. Right, now that sounds bizarre as the man who's been such a thorn in the side of the Tory party. But tell me, what are the different policies that Farage has got that aren't Tory boy? If anything, reform have become Tory boy light under Tyson Farage. There are actually people in the Tory party who at least might, like Jendrick and Braverman and these sorts of people, who are actually like sniffing the wind and being like, hold on a second, there's a lot of pretty hardcore right-wing popular sentiment in the country at the minute. We better like at least say some of that stuff. But Farage is just the self-appointed gatekeeper, basically, of where the discourse is allowed to go. And Rupert Lowe, wasn't willing to play that game. And for that, he has been punished. For that, for daring to go beyond what Nigel delves to be acceptable to the discourse. Acceptable to who? Except, like, it's literally just Farage himself enforcing this line. This line has been crossed by Jendrick already. The line was crossed in the Tory leadership election. The line has been crossed by Braverman. The line has been crossed by Trump. The line has been crossed by the AFD. It's literally only Nigel Farage who's playing by this old rule book. For what reason? And, you know, comes a point, and I think this is what is happening right now, where, I mean, there's two separate issues here, which I'll get onto in a second, okay? But I think for the organize, people who are interested in organization, in this country, the people who are interested in making political change. Farage is going to be surgical as a barrier, as someone who's actually ultimately working, you know, for the sake of his own ego, maybe, or for the, maybe there's even something more clandestine there. Maybe he's a deep state plant or something, right? But whether it's, you know, whether he's innocent, whether he's doing it innocently, whether he's working for the regime directly, at a certain point, he's just in the way, isn't he? Let's face it, he's in the way. And time is, the trouble is that there's only so much time. There's only so much time before some of these problems can be sorted out. There's a window of opportunity to sort out the issue before it comes to, before it's too late. And Nigel is wasting time. All of this shit with Rupert Lowe is wasting time. I mean, come on, reporting the guy to the police because he may have had a few cross words with Youssef. This is absolute ninny. I mean, it's ninnyism, isn't it? I remember that show, the thin blue line. You know, the Rowan Atkinson one with the. Do you remember that Inspector Grimm? Wishy washy, namby pamby, you know, up your diddums. What the fuck are you doing reporting low to the police, you wankers? Anyway, let me get on to Rupert Lowe's Twitter feed. Okay, now I'm not saying, right, I'm not saying, by the way, because you do have presumption of innocence until proven guilty, okay, is meant to be how we view these things. But I have no doubt that Lowe may have said a few cross things to Youssef, probably because he feels very strongly about trying to save this country. I have no doubt that he may have said a few, you know, hurtful words or something like this. But you can't, like, just report, you know, talk about throwing someone under the bus. But let's face it, they're not serious about the criminal aspect of it. They're not serious about actually trying to, like, you know, get him convicted. What they're interested in doing is smearing him and dragging Rupert Lowe's name across the papers. Character assassination. Just burying him, basically. Just trying to kill Lowe. So, yes. Now, before I read all of this, there is one other element to this story that I will mention, which is that, unfortunately for Rupert Lowe, and this is the value-free bit of the analysis, friends, I've said all the emotional stuff already, but the truth is, Nigel Farage is probably the most famous politician in the country. I would probably go as far as to say that Farage is more famous than, I mean, certainly more famous than Kemi Badenoch, but he's probably more famous than Keir Starmer. He's been around for 30 years. Very few politicians have a shelf life that long. Nigel Farage went on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. Right, he is probably the only politician who is a household name known by close to 90% plus of the public, okay? Literally everybody knows who Nigel Farage is. And more than that, Nigel Farage is one of the very few politicians, domestic politicians, who is known internationally. He's known in America because of his tours with Trump, because of his support for Trump, and is, you know, he's been part of that whole, you know, going to the rallies and all of that. And he's known in Europe because for a good while he was an MEP and as the man who brought about Brexit, okay? So Farage is known internationally as Mr. Brexit, as, you know, the face, if you want, of populist politics in this country. So Lowe has a terrible structural disadvantage here because nobody really knows who he is, okay? Yes, he was the Southampton chairman back in the day. But look, I'm pretty switched on, right? I watch politics really closely all the time. I run this channel, for God's sake, right? And I had only just drawn the connection the other day that, oh, hold on, it's the same dude. I checked with the missus. I shared the conversation on Twitter. I said, you know who Nigel Farage is, but here's the thing. Do you know who Rupert Lowe is? And she was like, no, I don't. I'm not into politics. Why should I care? And this is the thing. If the election happens in 2029, all of this will be ancient history. And unfortunately, the public will have a very short memory for all of this sort of stuff. And this is the structural advantage, the iron law of oligarchy, if you want, is this issue, right? Because Farage is basically like, I mean, I hate my, you know, pro wrestling analogies. He's basically Hulk Hogan. And Rupert Lowe, he's, you know, my favorite example is always Dean Malenko, right? Dean Malenko. If you were into wrestling, you knew who Dean Malenko was. Just like if you're into politics, you know who Rupert Lowe is. But if you weren't into wrestling, you haven't got a bloody clue who Dean Malenko was. But you know who Hulk Hogan is. And it's just like if you're not into politics, you know who Nigel Farage is. Okay? Now, this is the thing, really, which is that in terms of the election, in terms of the public, in terms of Reform UK and their fortunes, I don't really think this may make any electoral difference whatsoever, which may seem contradictory, right? How could I open this show by telling Farage to get with the program and saying it's 2025 and that Lowe has the internet and that Reform need to go where the energy is, and then at the same time say, well, it's not going to make any difference. Well, this is the difference between the elite, the vanguard, right? The vanguard, the elite, the base, the energy, and the general populace, the population, the plebs, the marks. And what I'm trying to emphasize, I guess, is that what makes MAGA strong in America is the fact that Trump has cultivated not just one or two, but about 10 different strong online subcultures in the base. Okay, now not all the people who voted for Donald Trump in November were part of that, right? They were not super online. They were not part of the online right. They were not QAnon. They were not any of these, you know, various. They were not part of the conspiracy space. That's another one that supports Trump. Most people aren't part of those things, but those things generate ideas and energy that Trump can draw from all the time. Okay. So there's a symbiotic relationship between Trump and his online base, okay? And the online base also translates into a real-life base, like actual people who go to rallies and things like that, okay? Reform, because they're so boomery, don't get this, or they don't want this. They want to run in a purely top-down manner where it's more like the relationship between a TV star or a movie star and a bunch of adoring fans. And the Reform don't want the input of any of these kind of online subgroups. They don't want an online base in the same way. Or at least that's how it seems to me. Okay, because we don't see the same moves in this country being made that are made in America. And we know personally of certain people, friends of ours and so on, who've just had the door shut in their faces. Rather than try to utilize large audiences to, you know, bring them on side and grow there, they instead act like there needs to be a firewall between Reform and all of that. Okay, very old-fashioned way of operating. So anyway, with all of that said, let's get into some of the things that Rupert Lowe has said. I actually think that on a personal, as like a personal story, this is quite almost like kind of tragic. There's a almost like a Shakespearean element to it because, you know, it's high drama, you know. Let me just read some of this statement from Rupert Lowe because it really is something that you don't see very often in politics, okay? He says, I have been betrayed more times than I care to remember, but never by people I would have called friends. It's not a very pleasant feeling, to be entirely honest. Business, football, politics, dirty games, all of them. I have always tried to surround myself with decent, honest, and fair individuals who I feel I can trust. Loyalty to those people has not always come cheap, costing me my job on more than one occasion. That is something I would not change. Of course, I'm not a politician. I'm 67, and I'm fortunate enough to be able to financially support myself and my family. My wife thinks I'm mad to trudge around my little wonderful corner of Norfolk talking about bins and business rates. I love it. I generally do. Give me a heated argument with a cantankerous local councillor over mojitos on the beach any day. It's the honour of my life to be the MP for Great Yarmouth. And I've been outspoken on issues, immigration, rape, gangs, deportations, the rapid way in which our country is changing. And yes, that has not been appreciated by some within Reform. Let me be clear. I do not care. I will say what I believe is right, even this, if this upsets certain egos. I've run businesses all my life, some successful, some not. The one thing in common from all of the successful ones, communication, clear, honest communication. Does requesting regular meetings of MPs make me a monster? Is asking to see even just see a policy before it's made public unreasonable? Is it fair to be insulted because I want people to finally talk to each other? I have torn out what remaining hair I have left over the past few months, trying to talk. That's it, just talk. I've tried and tried and tried to resolve all of this behind closed doors. I can only smash my head against a brick wall for so long. You know, what we're reading, you know, between the lines here, what we're seeing is Reform aren't serious, are they? They don't want to be serious. They don't want to actually solve the issues. And this is Lowe, a business guy, a problem solver, who actually made the mistake of believing that these guys were legit, that they actually wanted to sort something out. I'm kind of reminded a little bit of Thomas Sowell. Remember Thomas Sowell? That was his origin story. That's how he became, quote unquote, right wing in the first place. Is that he was working for the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and he found that, like, he was going to meetings and coming up with solutions, and after a while, he just figured out that nobody actually wanted to solve anything. That actually their job was not to solve problems, and he became unpopular because he wanted to solve issues. And it really does seem like Reform, and I've always had this feeling with Reform, there's a kind of veneer to them. That they're not quite kind of anything more than a media facade, really. And there's been this thing about, like, you know, who owns it, and, you know, do the people have a say? And now we're finding that even an MP within the party is kind of locked out of basic stuff. You'd think with only five MPs that they'd meet all the time, wouldn't you? But apparently not. My one hurried and immediate summons to Reform HQ, which I could not make due to prior commitments, was the first and last invite I would receive from the leadership. Put simply, Reform has handed a priceless gift to those individuals who have presided over our country's relentless decline. I am now going to repeat publicly an invitation I have extended to Nigel Farage in private multiple times over many months. Every offer has been refused or ignored. Please Let's have dinner and resolve this in a manner that our members and country would expect. Anytime, any place, you've got my number. So what it seems like is that despite the photos and despite what we were seeing, despite the excitement about the, you know, the Fab Five or whatever they were called, actually they didn't even talk to each other. They barely know each other. That's what's basically coming out here. So really it is pretty bad, I would say. Pretty bad. And I think it's an indictment on Farage personally, as it like his character, himself as a man. You know, my missus has always been a fan of Farage, right? And you know, I came back to the issue today earlier on. I was like, oh, I have to go and talk about this, you know, reform thing on the show today. And she said, well, what is it about, really? And I explained. I said, look, every time anybody else starts getting a little bit of momentum, Farage, maybe because of his ego, maybe because of some other reason, does them in. Right? He does a political hit job on them and tries to assassinate their character. And I asked her directly. I said, look, if you knew this about Nigel Farage, would it make you think differently when you came to vote? And she said, yes. She said yes. But, of course, when you've got the media working in lockstep with Farage on this hit job, and I do think they are working, I think the regime want Farage. I've said that before. You can see how it's all framed, you know, against Lowe. Because the system is like the Matrix. You know, in the Matrix where all the people become Agent Smith. It's like we're watching Farage turn into Agent Smith. And they're noting, oh, there's a problem here. This guy is actually in danger of becoming base. So they all Agent Smith together. What does it tell you? It tells you that when all is said and done, when all the crap is stripped aside, all of these people wouldn't mind Farage being PM. Because they know he's not a threat. They know he's basically system friendly. So there's a lot of bad things that can happen as a result of this, by the way. I've already seen the Tories making overtures, right? The Jendrick faction making overtures to Lowe of possibly defecting from reform back to the Tories. Here we go again. Up the garden path again. T1000 reforms. T1000. All those little globules of mercury getting back together. I thought the Tories were done and dusted. Now, reform, a completely unforced error by Nigel, is creating these possibilities. Because people are going to be like, hold on a second. That means the Tories are edgier than reform now. If they can have Rupert Lowe back in there. That would be a disaster. So Rupert, if you ever, I mean, he's not going to watch this, but if anybody connected with him, please don't go back to the Tories. That would be it. That would be over. That would be like the worst of all worlds. But this is Britain. So probably that's what's going to happen, isn't it? Let's be honest. Nothing ever good happens here. It's always let down. Deceit, up the garden path, you know, victories, those things happen in other countries. Here, we just live in a, you know, a police state, basically, where literally, you know, an MP can be arrested for being based. Essentially, that's basically what's happening here, investigated. Anyway, he's got a number of these things. If you want real loyalty, get a dog, he said. Habib has come to his defense because this happened to Habib before him. And I've seen him all over the place. He did write in the Telegraph, I'm the victim of a witch hunt and I'm innocent. So he is fighting back. And the media are kind of leaning into this. But it would be a very bad outcome if he ends up back in the Tory party. That would be the worst. the resolution of this story. He's saying Farage needs to take back control of reform and sack Youssef. Yeah. Lee Anderson has been beefing with Lowe as well. What a snake he turned out to be. Surprise, surprise. Yeah, I mean, it's just... it's a very tawdry, hit job. Indeed. It's been interesting to see so many people come to Lowe's defense. And it's been interesting to see Lowe ratioing Farage by pretty strong ratios. But I fear that when all is said and done, none of this is going to matter, come what may. Come what 2029. I mean, there's so much of this stuff here. He's been obviously on it. Let's watch this little clip of Farage sticking the knife in.
What I do know for a fact is on the 29th of February, Mr. Lowe was informed that there was a parliamentary investigation into two separate allegations of bullying. We didn't know that at the time. Shortly after that, he gave that interview to the Daily Mail.
So there it is. What a shit show. What a shit show. Zero seats, 2.0. It's going to be wild, friends, when it happens. Unless there's, I mean, the best thing that can happen is that we get an actual proper party from this, from Lowe, with Lowe as the leader or something like that. That would set a cat among the pigeons because it would mean that for the first time, Farage is actually being flanked to his right properly, rather than Farage being the backstop. Because I'm convinced that Farage is in there as a, if you want a football analogy, he's like the regime sweeper. You know, if they've got past all the other lines of defense and the Tory containment has failed and all of the other bits of containment has failed and the Blairite strafe right has failed, well, when all is said and done, Farage is there as the sweeper, the backstop. And Lowe has the chance to break that and to expose it for more people to see. His challenge, and the challenge for all of the people who would like to see this happen, is the structural disadvantage I talked about earlier. All of this stuff, the stuff he's retweeting, the ratios, Dan Wutan and all these sorts of online characters, none of that stuff is going to get cut through in the same way. You know, he's taken on Hulk Hogan, he's taken on Farage, who is known by everybody, right? So how is Lowe going to get himself over with the British public at large? And I'm not sure that that's possible without you know, TV spots and a pretty aggressive media campaign, old school media campaign, because online can only take you so far. Online can only take you so far. If you want to reach Joe Normie, you know. So that's what I worry about. I fear that Farage has got too many structural advantages. But that's not going to stop lots of my friends going hammer and tongs at this. There's another angle, of course. There is another angle, which is that in allowing Youssef to become the chairman, kind of, like, if you want to put it this way, they allowed a Muslim to become the owner or become the chairman. And it has been suggested that Lowe's allegiances are closer to the allegiances of somebody like Elon Musk. And that could be one of the things, one of the reasons this is playing out so publicly, which is that they probably want reform to be another Zio vehicle, basically. You know, and Lowe wants to take it in that direction. All the Tommy discourse with Jordan Peterson and so on is about this as well. And for whatever reason, Farrar just decided like he doesn't want to go down that route. And as a backstop against that, he stuck Youssef in there. That's another way of looking at this. But honestly, if it's between those two choices, it's got to be Lowe, isn't it? It's got to be Lowe. I mean, if it's like, well, you know, it's better than nothing. Lowe would be better than nothing. And in my view, reform is nothing at the moment. It is nothing. It is just wasting, taking up space and wasting time is what it's doing. Taking up space and wasting time. Tory light is what they are. Not even Tory light. As I said, some of the Tories are actually talking a better game than reform at the minute. So I think I've said enough. I think I've said enough. Let's have a look at some super chats before we get out of here. Oh, I never actually started Entropy. Oh shit. Let me do that now. Let me put Entropy on. So if you want to send super chats and Entropy, you can. I never actually started it. I often do that these days. Why is it not streaming? And I'll do the super thanks as well from the week. Oh, here we go. Entropy, here we are. Right, I'll put that in there. So you can send on Entropy if you'd like, or you can just send through YouTube. I mean, Douglas, I mean, Carswell, there's so many of people that Farage has done this to. All right, let us have a look now at some super thanks, and then I'll look at the super chats. So, super thanks. We're going to go 7 days ago to last week's show. Untred, son of Untred. This goes on. Oh, I did that last week, I think. Here. On last week's office hours, I figure the most likely answer for why the words and actions of the Coalition of the Willing are so incongruous. This is back on Ukraine, talking about last week now. I figure that the most likely answer for why the words and actions of the Coalition of the Willing are so incongruent with reality is to coat the inevitable with lies. As a prophylactic against a win for realism, wrap coming realizations in a jimmy of lies. When reality hits the fan, the inevitable capitulations take place. The masses are primed to believe the cabal's truth. Not that Trump started a dialogue with the Russians and brokered a deal that led to peace, ending with violence and death, until they can start it all again. But it all happened in spite of him. It's an act of desperation to shore up the shackles and blinders in Plato's cave, in case people catch sunlight in the corner of their eyes and wander off. Yeah, all sounds good. Maximilius says, you get a super thanks for I'm Johnson, I'm going rogue. I'm glad you picked up on that reference. BTO the W says, will the global economy collapse in 2025? Well, this was when I had that guy on who predicted the... which one was that? That's a pretty old video. Is that when I had that dude on? I don't think it is, actually. I think this was Black Horse's video. Black Horse has a superb video coming at the end of tomorrow on Canada and American trade relations, which I can't wait for. He said, how did this one make it through quality control, EA? In saying the Fed can just cut rates whenever they want, herpa derpa do ya, your boy completely misses the crux of the conversation. The market determines long-term interest rates, and that's why the yield curve even exists. This is elementary stuff. Well, if Black Horse listens, he can. I can't even remember what was said in that video now, but Black Horse will be able to come back on that. There has been a bit of a dip on Wall Street the past couple of days, and there's probably going to be a recession in America. But this is still not like the global economy crashing, is it? So that is what Black Horse was talking about in this video, because I had another video where a guy said that the global economy is going to crash in this next calendar year. And Black Horse is a finance guy who was basically saying why he doesn't think that's going to happen. We'll see who was right come 31st of December. Zook Go says, you say Blair is not a great man, and clearly he isn't in the Carlylean sense, but you can say post-1997 that we are living in Blair's Britain. He has transformed the country in his image. Is this a contradiction? No, not really. I mean, Blair is, I would say, an extremely adept operator in this system as it exists in the the neoliberal world order, which he actually helped bring about in this country himself. But he is not a great man, because the forces, like nothing that Blair did wasn't already happening, if that makes any sense. Right. Now, I do have admiration for Blair in a football manager sense, by which I mean, I think he objectively has good political stats. Right. He is good at politics. But this is not the Carlylean great man. The Carlylean great man smash it. Like, if you remember, Blair was like, we have to build on the legacy of Thatcher. And he saw himself as a kind of a synthesizer of different systems. And, this is not, it's just a different type of figure. That's all. But that's not to say that Blair hasn't achieved, quote unquote, great things. He has in a value free sense, but he's not Carlylean great man. $100 Australian from Apollo Foros on the end of the boom of truth and the World War II mindset. He says, I thank you profusely for keeping me sane and intellectually engaged over the past half decade. Sensible centrism forever. P.S. Dark Synth for the win. Well, thank you very much for that extremely generous super thanks there. And I'm glad that at least somebody appreciates what I'm doing here. Samos Bourne says, this is the hysterical reaction of Trump's evisceration of Zelensky, a stream, part of the Ukraine trilogy I did. He says, this was an absolute all-timer. Does a measly £2 get another mashup of the AA soundboard? I.e., I want to be next to him. It's over. Some of the other newbies, like me, perhaps, haven't heard. Many thanks, Sam. Well, it is a measly £2, but you want to see the soundboard? Here's what's on the soundboard.
Deeply subversive.
College kids today really seem to hate Jews.
It's over.
I think that we've reached peak wank.
The persecuted becomes the persecutor. The hunted becomes the hunter.
Up yours, woke moralists. We'll see who cancels who.
I've never seen so many white people in one place. It's an extraordinary story.
Stop. Wait.
Away with you, beggar. Away with you, beggar. Away with you, beggar. Away with you, beggar.
Clear them out. Clear out. Clear them out. Gonna clear them out.
You've got to clear them out as well. There needs to be a new start.
Sure. I would say. Sure. Yeah. Sure, 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 sure. And so...
It is a lost art. I'll vouch for that. No one expected the return of the Debenhams voucher.
26 years old and you can't even drive? I can. Are you stupid, eh? Are you a stupid fool? Well, why can't you drive then? You can't even drive! Been great today, isn't it?
It's a very nice village, but it's a bit scattered. It's a bit scattered. Awfully scattered. The scattered community.
Drainage. Drainage, Eli. That walking testament to millennial milk toastery minion Mark has put together his list of top 10 fat men. Ah, minion Mark, a young man with such low moral fiber, he gives Weetabix rickets. Now, of course, Mark, being a generic NPC, is someone of incredibly middling tastes. His favourite band are U2 and Coldplay. He defines bland and middle of the road. So, in his top 10, I will be critiquing his milky mainstreamery, and in each case will provide a superior pick of my own as a man of culture and learning. So let's see his top 10, shall we?
27. Mark and Gina made...
No, thank. Snorts Black Dobbin. Grey Joan, then, my beautiful broad-bottomed bear. Oh, heaven, she too answers... No, thank. Snorts Black Dobbin. No, thank. Snorts Black Dobbin. No, thank. Snorts Black Dobbin. No, thank. Snorts Black.
That's all of you, by the way, the trucks, remember?
Isn't it off now?
Hey, grown-ups.
Here.
Hey, grown-ups.
26 years old and you can't even drive?
Oh, look, we're live, but the thing didn't play.
Oh.
The Right Honourable Tony Blair, former Prime Minister of the UK, founder of the Tony Blair Institute for Global Change. We're delighted to have...
Tony Blair, T-Man, B-L-A-I-O. You're in our hearts, I know you had to go. It doesn't stop it hurting, so I say, Tony Blair, with your gentle face, your heart of gold and strength of God. The day you left this place, the country went to the docks. But I know you're only one man in the world that needs fixing.
All right, that's enough. I mean, there are some super, super duper rare Sly Sneak ones, which I never play, like this one.
Miscellaneous youth, come hither, for it is I, Sly Sneak. Awushka. Awushka. My Chuba. Who goes there yonder? Away, beggar! Ah, come in, my child, for it is I, Sly Sneak. Halt, ye prancer of the forest. Who goes there? For it is I, Sly. Creeping, snivelling travellers from the north, stand where ye dwell, beggar, and repent before me, for it is I. Crab-like stragglers of the glade, you will stop where you are, for it is I. Beware! The Casino King! The Casino King!
In 20 minutes, Andy Crane will be here with birthday greetings and programme news in Children's BBC. Before that, Henry Kelly puts the questions to those going for gold.
Here we are again. Put that coffee down.
You weak, pathetic fool. All too easy.
A low-level party. Welcome, for it is I.
So, there we go. That may be the only time I've ever played some of those, ever. But bet you're regretting spending that £2 now, aren't you? All right, let's carry on. Dan says, this is on the end of the Boomer Truth and the World War II mindset. This is unrelated to this video. However, I want to bring attention to all those BSYT videos about the supposed coming English Civil War. After the initial video went viral, I have seen many references to it. In my view, this is ill-conceived and will encourage people to do something stupid and will achieve nothing other than further clampdowns to occur. Well, I was one of the only people who was immediately skeptical about this. And as always, when I voiced skepticism to other people who, for some reason, despite everything, have a completely naive, almost child's view of the system, they were like, oh, no, this is organic. You know, I've seen this guy's done tons of interviews now. Like, he's gone all around the place. They really want you to have this Civil War narrative in your head. And, I always remember my brother maintains that the system always wants to produce, start out with a lie, he says, make it a reality, produce the solution. Start out with a lie, make it reality, produce the solution. Okay. And in this case, my brother has maintained this for a long time. He thinks the system is trying to provoke the quote-unquote right into doing something, right, so that it can crack down. That's what he thinks. And your message, Dan, is kind of along these lines. I don't really know what they're up to promoting that Civil War narrative, but it's a weird one because if you think about it, the same narrative was pushed in America just a few years ago with Tim Pool and all those people pushing a similar sort of line. Kumora Tone Music says, I know why Britain is so obsessed with the Zelensky regime, because the country is named UK Rain. Ukraine, get it? UK Rain? UK Rain. All right, now let's have a look at the actual Super Chats. Entropy first. Port Film Co-op says, there was a confirmed anti-Semitic false flag event in Australia. A van found with explosive and a list of targets, all from certain background, despite authorities knowing it was fake early. It was used to tighten speech laws. Okay, well, you'll have to look into that. I don't know what that false flag event is referring to. Vincent says, tech bro Zionism or globo third worldism, yay. Sloppy Joe Stalin says Jennifer Connelly is tied in the vote with Sports Illustrated swim model Elle McPherson in Who Would You Do? 1980s edition. I'm running. Outlaw territory. Cheers from Sloppy Joe. That is impossible. That is impossible. I still have the Who Would You Do stats right here. And Elle McPherson went out in like round one, whereas Connolly completely undefeated. So clearly there aren't enough people voting in that. If that was being voted on by the thousands, as in official WWYD, Connolly would be smashing McPherson as the undefeated champ. what else do we have? A third man says Nigel is showing himself to be a bell now and could be a blessing, as we've still got 4 years to the general and the right could start and form a new party by then. Well, that is the ideal thing. If the upshot of this is that Lowe creates a new party that is backed by Elon Musk, right, or is backed by serious resources, that would be the best upshot. Okay. Edil Canadal says, "R.I.P. Nigel Party. Much love from Eddie." I mean, let's just see, okay? Because this is the sort of data point that could get right. How many people are watching this now? I mean, according to this, I've got about 2,800 people watching between the different platforms here. Let me just run a poll on the YouTube chat. Will this... hold on. Will you vote for reform now? Okay, that's the question. Nice, just say yes, no. And I'm going to run that. I'm going to leave that running for as long as I can. Let's see if we can get over 1,000 people voting in that, or over 700 or something. And that is something that I can, I'll be able to share on social media. That's the sort of thing that may make the idiots running reform wake up and take notice a little bit. Because unless they're deliberately trying to lose, unless Farage's actual goal is not to destroy the Tory party, but to, just waste time. Well, let's see. Dandy Sailor says, Nigel has said numerous times that he is a classical liberal and insisted that UKIP was a classical liberal party during the 2015 campaign. Yeah, he's a Thatcherite. He's just a Thatcherite. Thing is, Thatcherism has got absolutely nothing to say to us now in 2025. Nothing to, like, Thatcherism was born of breaking the post-war consensus, as it was known. The three-day week and all of that stuff that happened in the 70s, at the end of Keynesianism and all of that. Breaking union power. That's what Thatcherism was about. The issues this country is facing now, Thatcherism has nothing to say to any of them. Why? Because Blair was continuity with Thatcherism. We have been living in a Thatcherite country all these years. So if Farage is still a Thatcherite, he's basically part of the system. It's just, what flavor of Thatcherism do you get? You can have it with a red tie or a blue tie, but it's still the same thing. And the trouble is that the system doesn't give you options. Right, there's a lockdown of democracy in this country, says the author of Populist Delusion. They won't even give you the option, right? On foreign policy, on domestic policy, on economics, they're all the bloody same. All the parties are the same. I agree with Nick. You can have David Cameron, over and over and over again. This one may be a bit more Thatchery. This one may be a bit more Blairy. That's your lot. You don't get anything else. System messed up when it let Jeremy Corbyn get in. right? That was a system mess up. That was a mistake. And look at what they did to Corbyn. At least it was something different, wasn't it? The punishment is the process. The process is the punishment. Exactly. Vision of confrontation. Exactly. And Lowe, fair to him, is going about it the right way. He's fighting every step of the way. Sansom Cominium says, if Farage won't consider deportations, then what is the point of Farage? We don't want any immigration, full stop. We need to start sending them back. If Farage can't deliver that, he should move aside. Exactly. Farage needs to step aside. If he's not willing to talk to the issues that the country is facing today, he's just in the way. He is just in the way. He should have, if he was going to just be an obstacle, he should have gone off into retirement and gone off into sunset as the man who made Brexit happen. Right? He'd already made history. Let that be his legacy. To me, Farage is tarnishing his quote-unquote legacy with these actions, with this containment bullshit that Reform are doing. What's the point of him? Galica Watkins says, I'm not surprised that Nigel and Zia would pickaxe low. Maybe we should be going towards homeland now, but it's always just another right-wing party. I don't know much about homeland. What I do know is that I'm not sure if they're going for parliamentary spaces. I think they're going for local elections, council elections, and things like that. Unless Labour scuppered that as well. I think Labour redistricted all the councils and made it much more difficult for people to organise on a local level. I thought people should do it independently. I think that each area in the country should independently, try to take over their local councils, like they did in America, with the school councils. Remember the takeover of the schools to push back against the woke stuff there? You know, you can do little things like that, but I think that the system's even onto that. I think they're not even allowing that. That they're making the councils a lot bigger. Trouble is, the British establishment doesn't have any answers. It doesn't have any justifications. And increasingly is just looking like a totalitarian state. A totalitarian neoliberal state is what we live in, with woke characteristics. Deplorable Patriarch says, Nigel became briefly extinct as a child's name with no birth of children named Nigel, registered in the UK for 2019 and 2020. It is still one of the 100 least popular names for children in the UK. That's an interesting data point. It is a bit of an old-fashioned name, though, Nigel, isn't it? I'm not sure if, like, Nigel Farage is the cause of that. It's just like an old name. There are certain names that never seem to come back. Like Mavis. Is anybody going to call their daughter Mavis now? Maybe you have. I don't know. Some of these things are cyclical. I know Vera made a bit of a comeback recently. And George and Alfred and names like that made a comeback a while back. I know that the names like kind of Jacob and Logan and things like that are trendy at the minute, aren't they? But Nigel does seem like a very like 1970s name in a way, doesn't it? I always just think of the XTC song, Making Plans for Nigel. Alan Smith says, Ben Habib interview with the Lotus Eaters said that his comms with Farage across a year as deputy leader was just a few texts. Farage does not lead. See, that's weird, isn't it? Maybe Farage is like very antisocial, doesn't like talking to people, it's weird. Just a few texts in an entire year as deputy leader. Max Cherry's given out 10 gift memberships. Thank you very much for that. Very generous of him or her. Could be a girl. I think it's a girl. I think it's a guy, though. Max Cherry. Andy says, side bet, Farage visits Davos before the next election. Well, maybe. Broman Henk says, I've been enjoying the geopolitical and economic stuff, AA. I feel like you'll only get more relevant in the post-war woke era. Realpolitik is back. Yeah. And I mean, I'll be honest, the geopolitics, economics, metapolitics, book stuff, these are all much more in my wheelhouse than the slime and the grime of what I call low politics, like what I've been talking about today. But every once in a while, a story is so big that I have to talk about it. So, you know. Ken Sal Culture, just give him £5. Vincent says, and we did that one. Jacob Zindel says, Nigel Farfraud's Reform Party is the most obvious control opposition ever. A quote-unquote far-right opposition party that ejects actual right-wingers. Yeah, I mean, it's been obvious to all of us that Reform was containment a long time ago, but to see this happen at such a... It's just egregious. It's egregious. And it's a barrier to anything meaningful happening. Farage is taking up space, wasting time. An obstacle. Inquisition Rack says, I used to work at a company with its HQ at 30 Milbank at the same time it was Tory HQ. Colleagues would often see Nigel in the lifts, and that makes sense now. Yeah, doesn't it just? Doesn't it just? Yes. I mean, let's not forget the true character of Nigel. Maybe I'll add this to the soundboard, right? Maybe I'll take away some of those more obscure ones that we played. What can I get rid of? This is one I don't use much.
Everything comes to he who waits. And I have waited so very long for this moment.
I mean, I don't play that a lot because nothing ever happens that I want, really. but let's see if I can make space. I don't know what to get rid of now. Oh, let's just play it. Let's just play it normally as a normal video. Where is it, that video? Oh, I don't quite have it yet. Oh, here we are. This is the true face of Nigel Farage. That's Farage right there, dancing with Big Bum Preeti, the woman who was Home Secretary when this country had its record, and I mean record, immigration under the blonde-haired buffoon Johnson. And she's since come out and defended Boris Wave, by the way. But that's not going to, like, look at him. He doesn't give a shit. He doesn't care about that. Preeti Patel has just told him, Nigel, we just broke all the records. We broke every immigration record going. We imported more people than between 10,000 BC and 1066. Just think about it. Britain is going to be a minority white country by the year 2066. More people are going to worship Allah than be part of the Church of England by the year 2050. In some places, people feel so unsafe that in Tesco's and Sainsbury's, they're putting giant Perspex barriers up because crime has become so bad. Who's doing the crime, I wonder? Well, let's not worry ourselves with that. That's who he is. That's the club, and you're not in it. They don't give a fucking shit, do they? They don't give a shit. And that's why Rupert Lowe has been thrown under the bus and reported to the police. Keir Starmer has sent another 100 people to jail because they were upset at people being stabbed in the street, children being stabbed in the street. We just got the independent inquiry back on the grooming gangs, and God, it's worse than you'd ever possibly imagine. Wankers, all of them. Bye, everyone.
What goes on in this town is none of your business.
As long as I'm living here, it is.
Then maybe you shouldn't be living here!
Well, that's easily fixed.